Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Do you understand how much power you house within you as a believer in Christ? Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Join me in today's message as Pastor Joel shares the power we have in calling on the name of Jesus.
The name of the sermon is Calling on the Name of Jesus. That's what it's about. I believe that's just what Brother Ron was just talking about, putting trust in Jesus and calling on his name. Amen. You know, as believers in Christ and as followers of Jesus, I believe I can speak for Christians as a whole, the majority at least, when I say that we crave hearing from the Lord, do we not? Yeah. We crave hearing from the Lord, amen? Jesus himself said it. He said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice." That's what Jesus said. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." And guess what? Well, they do. They follow him. Amen. All right. He said, "They follow me." So then it's a fact then, biblically, that we as Christians or sheep, whatever you want to call it, you can call me that. I'll be a sheep for Jesus. Then as we're referred to, then that means that we crave God. We're dependent on him, right? Okay. We depend on hearing from the Lord. I don't know about you all, but I would be lost if I didn't hear from the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if I had to go back to the way I was before I met God, now that what I know now, I'd be scared to come out the house, okay? I wouldn't know what to do, okay? So I'm dependent on the Lord. And I know that's what we do as Christians. We crave hearing from God. But let me ask you this question. How many times per day do you suppose you call on the Lord? Just think about it. Y'all don't have to answer. I don't want y'all raising your hands and things. I mean that. I just think about it. How often do we look to call on him? How often do we make decisions and then do we call on the Lord? And here's a point to ponder. When your eyes open up in the morning and you see the sky or your ceiling in your bedroom, do you say, "Thank you, Jesus, for giving me another day"? Huh? How about as your day progresses? Do you say, "Direct me, Lord. I need you to show me the way to go. I don't know the right decision to make. I'm going to follow your lead." How about when you encounter difficulties? Oh, we call on him then. We got a problem, boy. An atheist will call on Jesus when he have a problem. Agnostic. I know it's something out there, Jesus, but I believe it's you. They get saved real quick when we need him. Amen. Mm-hmm. People get real religious, all right? I said, when the water gets hot, you know, when the teapot starts whistling, that type of, that kind of hot water, you'll come to call on Jesus then.
Sister Annalisa, pastor, take us to our memory verse for the day. And let's read that again. We read it. Sister Elwanda read it. Let's read it again. Philippians 2:9-11. We're going to talk about that for just a second.
Philippians 2:9-11 tells us, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth."
All right. All right. I'll read the rest of it. Go on and read that next one.
"And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father."
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. All right. All right. Now, these scripture verses right here are what I call extremely comprehensive in detailing the writer's goal. The writer, of course, is Paul. And Paul's goal is to explain the magnitude of the glory and power that's associated with and found in Jesus and his name. That's what it is. The power that's in the name. The power that's in Jesus. It says that God has highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, the name that is above every name. Now, that means something, you all. We take some things like this and we glad let them go by. But let's stay here for a minute and let's dissect this in verse 9. Now, that means that at the name of Jesus is second to none. No other name like Jesus. That's right. Second to none. That means it does not have an equal. All right. And it's above every other name. As a matter of fact, I think it's in Hebrews 4:12, and it talks about that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In other words, there's no other name that can save you. Nobody else, no nothing, no promises. It says the name of Jesus can save you. The name, no other name under heaven given among men by which, not that you can be, it said you must come under that name if you want to be saved. Now, this is telling us something about the name of Jesus, all right, and things that we may not think about all the time. That's why I just want us, you know, if God gives us a weapon, we got to know how to use it. Somebody give you a weapon to defend yourself with and you don't know how to use it, you got a spiritual Glock 99. You got a spiritual M16 fully auto, and you don't know how to load that baby. You don't know how to hold that baby. This is the name of Jesus, the name above all name. There is no name higher. There is nothing greater. There is nothing stronger than the name of Jesus. You got a problem? Call on Jesus. You got somebody messing with you? Put it to Jesus. You need some action? Declare it in Jesus. Now, I know we don't always think about that. We know it. But we just go through and we have problems, don't we? Oh, that old supervisor messing with me. Oh, my rent's late. The landlord don't like me no way. Oh, I need a place to stay. Well, have you used the name which is above all names, which is second to nobody's name? Come on now. Have you laid before him and talked to your Savior? Have you taken it to the King? Have you taken it to your one? Have you pled your case with your wonderful counselor? And his name is Jesus. I rest my case with Jesus. Now we got to know how to use that. That's why the Lord said, do this sermon. Let them know what it means to call on the name of Jesus. Some of y'all got some bank and you don't even know it. Why are you leaving that paycheck around the house? Cash that check named Jesus, okay? And let him work for you. We don't do that sometimes. We just say, well, it's me. They always mess with me. I'm waiting on them. You got the power in the name of Jesus. All right? Now, so the name of Jesus is second to none. And as believers in Christ, we've got to know the power of Jesus. The power that's in the name of Jesus. See, you're not going to always see it. You know? It's not like protein that you buy at the health food store. You're not going to see. You can't buy this. You know? You can't get strong in Jesus by doing push-ups. You know? You can only study so far in libraries to get to Jesus. No, it's got to be something that you spend time with, that you live with, that you spend that you commune with, huh? Yeah, dine with. Careful. She'll direct it to food somehow. I'm talking about dine with. Boy, thank. If you was at the table with Jesus and the rest of them disciples, I don't know. They just said, Lord, she's taking all the bread. It's for your body, Lord. Forgive me. All right, so as believers, we got to know about this power. I mean, how are you going to call yourself believers if you don't have adequate knowledge of what you say you believe in? Sometimes we have superficial belief. Does that make us superficial Christians that can handle superficial things? But life doesn't always come at you in a superficial way. Sometimes the problems come at you deep, powerfully, strong, enough to knock you into another lifestyle. People are going through that now. People are saying that I'm a man who feels like a woman and I'm a woman who feels like a man. But if they don't know Jesus, they don't know the power that's there to help them. See, that's why we need to know about this thing. Some people say, I'm mean, and my daddy was mean, and my granddaddy was mean. We're just a bunch of mean men. That's all there is to it. But there's something that can change you. Jesus can. But if you don't know him, so those of us who do know him, even we have to be able to stretch into faith and understand that he's there to work. He's there to do a job. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He said that in John 12:32. Lift me up from this earth and I'll draw all men unto me. He said, I've given you the power. He said, I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, because he said, I go to the Father. See, so we've got to know about this Jesus and the name of Jesus and the power associated with Jesus. That's right. We've got to know this. Devil don't want the church to know about Jesus. He don't care if you worship Jesus all day and don't believe in it. The devil said, go on, read your Bible. You don't believe it anyway. You don't have any experience. You ain't sat really down with Jesus and understand that the things that he does, you can do them too. He don't want you to know that part. He wants you to think that this is just entertainment. All right? But it's not. It's more than that. It's more than tradition. All right? So you got to believe in this. Let's go to verse 10. Let me get back to point here. Let me go to verse 10. It said that at the name of Jesus, listen to this, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Let me explain something here to you, okay, because we're going to take a little bit of time here. Just talk about this for a minute. The Bible says that tells us just what should bow at the very name of Jesus. It says, what should be bowing? It says, every knee should bow. Whose knees? It says, number one, those in heaven. All right? And it says, every knee should bow. Understand what that means. Should bow. Well, if it's Jesus, will they or won't they bow? Why does it say should bow? Well, the Apostle Paul, I want to explain this for those of you who may not know. Paul is speaking in accordance to Christians learning humility in this text, as demonstrated by the humility that Jesus showed. And when he humbled himself and he endured the cross in order to secure salvation for mankind. So that's where Paul's coming from. So since Christ made the supreme sacrifice, which was himself, then God said, I'm going to exalt you because you went to the cross. And you are deserving of every knee bowing to you. Huh? You understand? That's right. That's what he's saying. Do you all understand that? Okay, so hold on to that for a minute, because this is what we're going to do. Paul's language is taken from Isaiah 45:23. Pastor, take us there for a minute. Look at what it says in Isaiah 45:23, because that's where this comes from.
Isaiah 45:23 tells us, Isaiah says, I have sworn by myself, mm-hmm. the words have gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath.
Okay, did you all hear that? It didn't say should on there, did it? What did it say?
It says shall bow.
All right, this is the Lord speaking through his prophet, okay? This is the revelation. The Lord says, I've sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. In other words, my word's going to get it done. My word is alive. My word works. My word has power. That's my word. That's what God is saying. And he says that to me, he's saying, coming back to me, putting himself first. He says, to me, every knee shall bow. He didn't say every knee shall bow to me. He said, to me, every knee shall bow. This is God talking. This is the God we serve. Every tongue shall take an oath. In other words, they shall confess. All right? Now, that's where it comes from. This was hundreds of years before Paul, before the apostle got it. God had spoke this a long time ago. And Jesus was at work even further before this. If you go back to the Old Testament and Genesis and everything else, Jesus was still at work. So what I'm trying to get across here is that the complete meaning of this phrase, every knee should bow, what it really means is every knee shall bow. Of course, we know the prophecy is on the way. There are knees bowing to Jesus already. But he said, nah, not enough. every knee shall bow, and every tongue, every knee shall bow. It's coming. If you read Matthew 25, 31 to 46, Jesus talks about that. And if you read Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, when you see the Lord lifted on high, and there were the books were opened up, and every human being ever created had to come and face what he's done in his life. Some to the white throne judgment, some to the judgment seat, those who are saved. Every knee shall bow. That's what it's saying right there. So Jesus himself speaks. This is Matthew and the Apostle John's vision in Revelation are confirming this scene where all will bow at the name of Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, that's something powerful. Hallelujah. That's something powerful. We serve an awesome God. Now, I had to point that out just in case people are watching and you all don't know this. And well, because when I read the Bible, when I first read it, I said, what do you mean every knee should bow? Why don't they just bow? You mean you don't have to bow if you don't want to? Oh, you're going to bow. You're going to bow and how? Okay? Because the word says it and it's proven and the word is true. This is the inerrant word of God. Okay, so we got that straight. So understand why in Philippians 2:10, although it says every knee should bow, now you know it means that every knee shall bow. Amen? You all still with me? Okay. Now that we've explained that point, let's go further in this verse in Philippians. Let me see if I can flip back to it. Got a little Bible string right there. Help me out. In Philippians, the verse goes on to say just what things should bow. Which we know means what things shall bow, okay? Well, the Bible says things in heaven and things in earth or on earth, as well as things under the earth. Do you know what that means, church? It means every creature in heaven, every angel, known or unknown. If there are aliens, if E.T. is real, even E.T. and E.G., and the rest of his cousins, every knee shall bow. That's what it says, right? Okay? That's what he's talking about. In heaven, okay? Known or unknown, they must bow, okay? So, also, things in the earth, as well as under the earth. Now, I don't know what's under the earth. Y'all looking at a person that's not into scuba diving. I'm not into scuba or Aruba, so I don't know what's going down up under the earth. Doesn't interest me, but I'm sure that whatever's lurking beyond the sea, whatever down there, got to bow to Jesus. Whatever little sea creatures, sea urchins, monsters, whatever else that people think about, big old sharks and whales and everything else, guess what? Got to bow to the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the name that's above all names. Now, I just want to lay the groundwork. But since we're on the earth, let's keep it right there for a minute. Let's focus on the earth right now. The Bible said things in the earth must bow at the name of Jesus. Well, what are those things? What are things? Well, every and all things in this earth has to bow to Jesus. Says all of creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Tells us that in Romans. All creation, it said, creation itself groans with labor pains. That creation. Those are things on the earth, okay? Everything, particularly unclean spirits on the earth, in the atmosphere, have to bow to the name of Jesus. Huh? Now, you know them demons, they got to jump on us because we can't see them. And they know that. I asked the Lord to let me see demons. I want to see spirits. Sometimes he'll show you something. But he said, you see them all the time. One day he told me to look in the mirror. I tell you like it is. When you act up, your father know how to correct you, okay? He got more snappier comebacks than me, I'll tell you that. I had to think about that one. That made me sad. This was long ago when I first came to the Lord, but I'm telling you that there are unclean spirits, all right? And these spirits have to bow to Jesus. But what you have to know is you have the power over them, okay? As it says in Luke 10:19, Jesus says, I give you authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Demon can't hurt you. You got power over those demons. They can't do anything unless the Lord allows it to happen. People going around scared of things. You ain't got to be afraid of anything. Jesus said, don't be afraid of him who can take your life. Be afraid of him who can send your soul to hell. That's what he says. You don't have to be afraid of no demon, no devil, no devilish people, no demon attitudes. You don't have to worry about that stuff when you know the name of Jesus and when you stand on the power of Jesus. That's what we've got to learn. We're so busy studying other folks and other things in the demonic. Study the holy. Study the thing about God. Study the power of God. That's what we need to know about. The devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants to saturate the TV with hobbits. He wants to saturate the TV with, what's that thing that all the little kids are looking at? Harry Potter, incantations and all these other things, and witchcraft. He wants you to concentrate on that when we need to be concentrating on the power in the name of Jesus. So just the word of God. Thank you, Pastor. So that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. We should and we have to know those things. But anyway, back to the point at hand. Things on the earth. Unclean spirits are on the earth. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you this testimony briefly for those of you who are watching. I know you all have heard it here. Bear with me because I have to say it. Case in point. It was around 2005 after the Lord had just come to me and my wife. And this was preceded by me and her hearing from angels. I didn't believe in angels. I didn't believe in Jesus in 2004, okay? But around that time, the Lord sent angels to us who started communicating with us. Now, those of you who are watching this, I want you to understand that I don't have to sit up here and lie. I'm not going to lie in the face of God and in his pulpit. Read your Bible. Read Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? I had never read a Bible at that point. But these angels came to us, and then they said, if you don't believe us, that Jesus is coming to you, we can show ourselves to you. All right, show yourself to me, because I can't believe this until I see something. I never had a beer, never been intoxicated, wouldn't know what Schlitz malt liquor is, didn't know anything about it at that time. I was 49 years old doing police work and raising children. I had never believed in Jesus or anything else. These angels come along to say that Jesus is coming to you, and he did. And I saw the angels first, and then they removed themselves. And a few days later, I heard Jesus speaking to us. I could feel him all over the room, Annalisa and I both. And he said, you must bow to me right now and repent your sins to me because I am God. And he read me the riot act, and I believed it, and I've been with him ever since. Now, I have to move on this. He filled us with the Holy Spirit. He put us on the fast track. Okay, he told me to read his word from cover to cover. So he taught us, he fed us the Bible by day, and he took us up in the spirit by night. Okay, this was my break-in period. He did that for about 6 to 7 days in 1 week in the spirit every night, waking me up saying, Joel Jones, wake up. And he showed us heaven, and he showed us outer darkness. I saw heaven, and we saw outer darkness. We heard gnashing and biting of teeth and everything else. All this is going on. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. But because I'm a sane man, and I never got high, I knew I wasn't high, and this had to be real.
Praise God. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. There is power in the name Jesus." This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're thankful you tuned in today. Listen, if you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks for tuning into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of Calling on the Name of Jesus. Until next time. God is-